What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with John Kegley. We're two writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and I also write for Sports Al Dente, an LA sports website where I cover the Chargers as well. Me and John have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live, and this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, what we have to talk about today is in the first segment, we have some sound from Melvin Ingram. We will play that sound for you. Him talking about how the mindset of the Chargers is still on the Super Bowl. He kind of made waves a little bit last year, and we talked about it last year when he said it, him basically saying the Chargers were going to the Super Bowl and going to win the Super Bowl. And in today's sound, he basically backs that up and says, hey, the mindset is still the same. So we'll talk about that. And then while we're on the subject of Super Bowls in the next segment, we will talk about Phillip Rivers and if he wins a Super Bowl, whether or not he would potentially retire and go off into the sunset with his one ring. So that'll be the second segment. And then the third segment will be about Demata Peko, who was a Bronco last year, a longtime Bengal defensive tackle that was just in the news recently saying that he would love to play in his hometown of L.A. So obviously that leaves two teams, the Chargers and the Rams, who could both probably use someone like him, even at his age. So we'll talk about the chances of bringing in a guy like Peko in the last segment. But let's go ahead and get started, John. Melvin Ingram was at it again, saying things that I know some people don't like, but let's hear Melvin Ingram when asked about whether his mindset has changed from last year when he guaranteed a Super Bowl. Let's see how he answered that question in an interview with Fernando Ramirez, who we're getting this video from off of Twitter.
Definitely going to win the Super Bowl. We still ASAP, any squad, any place. We want any smoke, and that's what we about. We about whatever pressure anybody want to be about.
All right, John, there you have it. I mean, the mindset is still the same. The motto is still the same, ASAP, any squad, any place, they want the smoke. Everything you want to hear from Melvin Ingram right now. And we did have this conversation, John, you know, that last year we had this same conversation, and that's when we weren't even sure if they could get over the hump of making it back into the playoffs, let alone, you know, making it to the divisional round and almost being the number one seed in the AFC. So do you like him saying something like that? Because I think that's a question a lot of people have. And then also, how have things changed from when we had this discussion last season?
Well, I am personally 50-50 on this. The reason why I'm 50-50 is I like that the player has that kind of mindset, that confidence that we're going to run the league, we're going to win the Super Bowl. We're not sitting here second-guessing ourselves if we're good or not. We want the Super Bowl, and it also shows that these guys are having fun and care about the game and not just here to collect a paycheck. So stuff like that makes me like hearing this, but on the other side, I'm the kind of person who says, screw the Super Bowl. That might be your goal for the season, everyone's goal, and if you don't make it, you know, the season's a complete failure regardless of what you did and accomplished. You could have been 18-0 and lost the Super Bowl. You accomplished nothing. Talk to the Patriots. They'll tell you about it. So if you are really serious about the Super Bowl, you should be talking about week one against the Colts. Unless you're the backups, then you need to be talking about week one of the preseason, which is your chance to get better and then prepare for the Colts. But you should be worried about week one. If you can't win week one, there's no point in talking about the Super Bowl because you've got more issues than waiting for the Patriots in the playoffs again. And then compared to last year, I remember in Ingram's prediction last year, or whatever you want to call it, last year, his statement, he said we haven't been in the playoffs in a while. I think it's going to be crazy. The way he said it last year was the Super Bowl, we're going to win. And it's like, okay, you don't really sound that confident. So like you're just saying it to the media to get people hyped up. But this year, he actually sounds like the mindset is, no, we're winning this. We are winning this. You're not changing my mind.
He sounded very confident when he said it this year, and it sounds like he really believes it. And that's really what we're talking about is, hey, every player, John, has to have that mentality. It's just whether or not you're going to say it publicly and put those kind of expectations on your team. Because, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but you want every player in that locker room thinking that they could win the Super Bowl this year and that they will win the Super Bowl this year.
That's completely right. You have to go into everything like that, even just not just with the Super Bowl. If you're going into a play, let's say it's the very first play of week one, you're looking at that guy across from you going, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to beat him, and I'm going to win this matchup. And if you do that every play, you end up winning that game. And that mindset has to be like that for everything. And if you have that mindset that you're going to win the Super Bowl, you're going to want to work harder, and you're going to want to play better and study more, and it makes you a better player. If you don't have that mindset, you're just coming in going, well, another day at the office, lift these weights, go home, eat a burrito, sleep, wake up, come watch some film, lift some weights. Like, you're not motivated. You don't have a reason to be there. So I like that they have this mindset. And you got to have that mindset if you want to be motivated.
Yeah, and I think we've seen some unmotivated teams. I mean, even since we've been covering the Chargers, you know, in the Mike McCoy years, there was definitely some uninspiring play. Yeah, no one wants to go back to that. But let's just talk about the chops as far as the Chargers actually getting to the Super Bowl with the roster that they have right now. This was a team last year that was as equipped as any team to make a deep playoff run, with one noticeable exception. The offensive line wasn't great. It got exposed late in the season. Phillip Rivers didn't play as well later in the season. Obviously, going up against some really good defenses didn't do him any favors. But a lot of things started going wrong towards the end of the year, and the injuries started piling up, especially at the linebacker core. But all of those things being said, John, I mean, their stats were up there with the best of them. If you were just going off stats, you would think that this is a team that's worthy of making a Super Bowl run. I mean, top 10 in the league in points, they were eighth. Top 10 in points allowed, they were eighth as well. So defensively and offensively, scoring points, allowing points, they're in the top 10 on both sides of the ball, which is huge, and that's what you look for in these type of teams. I mean, when you're talking about Super Bowl teams, you want to have a balanced team. Really, I mean, if you're looking at the stats, John, they need to improve rushing the ball. They were 15th, 117.1 yards per game. We know Melvin Gordon was in and out of the lineup, but that's also a big – but the offensive line is obviously a huge part of that. They did not run block very well. Melvin Gordon was doing a lot of that work by himself. You know, there were times when you see that 30-yard counter that's wide open, Derek Watt just absolutely blows somebody out of the hole and Melvin Gordon walks in. But, John, that's the thing, is it's hard to say this year's Super Bowl. But, John, at the same time, it's still hard to say that this is a Super Bowl team with the Patriots out there and with there being so many questions between here and the start of the regular season.
I'd have to agree with that. This team doesn't look like a Super Bowl team. I mean, I'm probably going to get a lot of flack for this when people listen to this on Twitter, but this team might be a little bit overrated. Defensively, probably not. Defensively, I think all the hype on the defense is deserved. The only question mark is, are the new guys going to live up to the hype? But I think you still improved, whether they live up to the hype or they just become an above average player. You still improved defensive line and safety wise. Offensively, you're missing a wide receiver that was a big part of the offense. Yeah, Mike Williams can step up, but you had a three-headed monster. Now you're down to two, and you have to rely on Travis Benjamin and a fourth guy. Hunter Henry does come back, but is he going to be the same guy? It's going to be tough to tell. He didn't really look like the same guy in the playoffs. And then the offensive line is just beat up. We already have an injury to Russell Okung. We don't even know what it is yet. And then you have all these guys like Dan Feeney, Sam Tevy, and Trent Scott, and all these guys that you're looking at going, what a mess. Who's going to play, and is it going to be any good? It's really tough to see this team as a Super Bowl team. Could they make a run for the playoffs? Without a doubt, they could. But to actually make it to the Super Bowl, we couldn't even block Chris Jones against when we played the Chiefs in Kansas City the second time. He was coming through that line right away, and Rivers was completing all his passes off his back foot with a guy in his face. I'd have to imagine the Chiefs are going to want to come do that again if we play them in the playoffs, and if it's not them in the playoffs, it's the Patriots.
Yeah, and that's my thing with this, is I hesitate to make these kind of claims not knowing who's going to make it on opening day or in the first game of the season, and knowing what those starting lineups are going to be and who's there and what additions could still be made. I know we're going to talk about another addition later on, but at the same time, The Chargers, to me, are, I think they're properly rated. I think, you know, we did power rankings. They were around fifth or sixth in the league. And I think that's where they are. And I think the one thing that's really holding them back from putting them with these elite teams at the top is a lack of offensive creativity and an offensive line. To me, that's what it comes down to. They have the players to still be successful on offense. There's no reason that team last year shouldn't have been, I mean, top five offensively with the weapons that they had and some of the games that they just absolutely went dry for stretches at a time. I mean, drives at a time. So I think those are the two big weaknesses right now. Ken Wisenhunt, I mean, absolutely could improve, but there was too many times where it was a lackluster play calling effort that really spiraled this team into bad drive after bad drive. And that was holding hands with the offensive line, which couldn't stop anybody from getting in. So I think this team is talented and has a Super Bowl roster, but I feel very far right now away from guaranteeing a Super Bowl like Melvin Ingram. I'm not trying to be down, but hey, Charger fans, you know this story better than anyone else. Let's see him get on the field. Let's see them play these games against the tough competition that they have on their schedule, because it is not an easy schedule. And then we can start making judgments about whether this team could be special and make a Super Bowl run. But I like the mentality from the players. I don't have a problem with Melvin Ingram saying it or backing it up. I mean, what is he supposed to do? To be like, yeah, last year we felt that way. This year we don't feel like we're a Super Bowl team. I mean, what is he supposed to say there? But we do have more segments to get into, specifically talking about Phillip Rivers. And if they do get that elusive Super Bowl, would he take that chance to hang him up and ride off into the sunset? So we'll go ahead and get into that right after this. But first, I need to tell you guys about our good friends over at Blue Chew. The Chargers need to step their game up this year, and you need to step your game up in the bedroom. And you can do that with BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You ever heard of it? So you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you don't have to be worried about being ready when the time is right. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. No in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. Right now, we have a special deal for our Locked On Chargers listeners. When you visit BlueChew.com, you can get that first shipment for free. All you have to do is pay for shipping. It's $5 when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get the product for free. They just want $5 for the shipping. And hey, that's a pretty good deal. Having a great night in the bedroom for $5. Sign me up anytime. So that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice. All right, John, now it's time to get into the next topic of the day. And I stole this one from the Coach and the Don podcast over from Sports Al Dente, my friends over there. We've been on their show a few times. I've been on it. John's been on it as well. And they were talking about if Phillip Rivers would hang it up if he was to get a ring this season. His contract is up this year. And the coach, Talon Graf, said he absolutely thinks that Phillip Rivers will hang it up if he wins it this year. So, John, with that being said, with the one more year on his contract left right now, without the extension having been done so far yet in the offseason, it's a pretty simple question. If Phillip Rivers wins it this year, do you think he hangs it up?
I don't think he does. And I think it's because you said you wanted to play in that new stadium. I feel like he'll play just up until then if he wins the Super Bowl. He probably might relinquish some of his starting role. Maybe he might try to build the new quarterback just because.
Oh no.
I think he could probably relinquish some of his role to the new quarterback. Like, hey, I've accomplished what I've accomplished. Now I'm going to try to help build this guy. So maybe he starts off the year or something and tries to switch the roles to build the future. I don't know. Like, that sounds kind of stupid and far-fetched, but Rivers might be willing to do something like that once he gets his ring.
No, I strongly disagree. I think that right now he's staying with it as long as he can play. I think once he's no longer a starter, once he hits the bench, I don't think there's any more for Phillip Rivers. I can't see him taking a couple plays off to let somebody else go in and play in front of him and mentor him. I just don't think that's in the realm of possibilities. You know, I'd say if it's San Diego, I probably still could never see him coming off the bench, but I maybe would be more open to it. But for me, I think he's just in it for his guys right now. You know, living in San Diego still, making that commute every single day, playing in LA every year. I don't think he's going to hang on for that. I'm not saying that he's going to retire for sure. I think it's too soon to say that. John, I think it has a lot to do with his performance. I mean, hey, if he has a Peyton Manning type year, a 9-touchdown, 17-interception year, and they somehow Trent Dilfer their way to a Super Bowl, I think Phillip Rivers absolutely hangs it up. But at the same time, John, I think if he's firing on all cylinders, this team looks dominant, and they get their first Super Bowl in franchise history. With a guy like Phillip Rivers, contract next year or not, I think he's absolutely coming back, seeing if he can't double down.
Yeah, I can see that too. But the point I was trying to make at is if he wins the Super Bowl but still wants to play in that new stadium, maybe he tries to relinquish his role, like maybe prevent some injury so he can be able to play around with his kids in the future. Because, I mean, you brought up a quote that he said.
But why wouldn't he just retire, though, if he wants to spend time with his kids? Why would he be a backup when he's been a starter pretty much his whole career since he started, like since he took over from Drew Brees?
Well, as I just said, he still wants to play in that stadium. So maybe he tries to relinquish his role a little bit to prevent the injuries to make it that far while also helping improve the future of the Chargers. But there was a quote you sent me when we were talking about this earlier where he said that Rivers said he's not going to play just to play. And so I felt if he wins that ring but still wants to play in the stadium, you know, that could be a possibility. It's a low possibility, but I think he could maybe do something like that if it turns into, okay, I got my ring, but I still want to play in that new stadium. But if he honestly doesn't really care about that stadium, he just said that just for publicity or whatever. If he's willing to just win the ring and hang it up, I wouldn't be surprised. But I feel like he's going to want to play longer after that. He's going to want to up the stats, or if his – streak of games started is still going on, I feel like he's going to want to continue doing that too, maybe like leave a mark or a record somewhere.
I don't know. I don't see him trying to chase those things. I mean, as far as the stadium, I get what you're saying. If he really cares about playing in the stadium, you could, I mean, I don't see that happening, but I think he could try to hold on for there and still try to be the starter, even if he's in denial about his play declining. I could see that, but I just don't think he really cares that much about the stadium. I think that timeline just kind of matches around the time he thinks that he could play. So I think it would be cool for him, but I don't think he's sticking around just for that. I think it's going to be a lot to do with how well he can play. I mean, I think there's a lot of people who thought that he would never come back after those few bad seasons, after the 5-11 and the 4-12. I think there's people who definitely thought he was done, and he's kind of revitalized his career, which that the competitor in him, John, I don't think it's about his stats. I don't think it's about where he ends up on all-time ranks. I think that in his mind, if he still thinks that he's the best chance for this team to win a Super Bowl, he sticks around. If he limps into it and gets it and doesn't feel like he still has it, I think he hangs it up. And I think it might just be that simple. Obviously, John, if he signs a 2-year extension before the season starts, it changes the whole conversation.
I don't think it changes it that much, because even if he still wins the Super Bowl with a 2-year extension, he could still retire if he feels like he's accomplished what he wants to accomplish. You can retire with a contract still on the balance, because like you said, this is a contract getting signed before the season starts, and if he wins the Super Bowl that season, he can still retire. I think the extension would just be more of a safety net. Okay, if we don't win it this year, at least I still have 2 more years to try to win it here.
I see what you're saying, but I don't think so. I think that if he signed a 2-year extension, I mean, you get guaranteed money with that when you sign, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, unless he wants to give that money back to the team, I think he would stick around for at least 1 more season, even if they won it, just because, you know, he's honoring at least most of that contract, or at least half of that contract. I think that might keep him around and not wanting to let his teammates down and be like, hey, I'm going to sit on my money, go retire, even though I have 2 years left on my contract. I don't see that happening, or at least I think it would make it less likely that he would retire. But If Phillip Rivers wins one and this team is playing well and he still, you know, has those MVP type of games and, you know, can carry a team on his back through portions of the game, I don't think there's any way he retires. I think he would be I'd still think he'd be hungry for the next ring.
What about this? Because that actually is my next question. What if he wins the Super Bowl and then decides to come back to go for two and wins two? Does he still keep going? Like, does he keep going until he no longer is the Super Bowl champion?
Well, that's the other part. You know, if I thought he was under contract and he won two in a row, I mean, I would think, hey, maybe he does try to play the whole thing out. I mean, the chances of them never winning a Super Bowl and then winning two in a row is probably pretty small. Because I don't think Tom Brady is retiring this year or next year. I don't know. I think it's pretty much. I mean, after he gets the first one, the big one, the one that some people think is holding him out of the Hall of Fame conversation, I think the one is the important one. After that, it's hard to say how he's going to feel.
I'm talking like, let's say he finishes this year and wins it and has a 2-year extension and wins it both of those years. Does he You're come back and try to go for a fourth?
Jesus what? Christ. You're talking three Super Bowls in a row?
I'm just talking just conversation-wise. I'm not saying they're going to win three in a row because that's like no one's ever
done. I can't even fathom this question. We're going to have to move on. It's just talking, something you can't even think
if
about.
If he wins all three, do you think he signs another extension to go for a fourth one? That's the question I want to know. Like, do you think the Super Bowl could also keep him going?
I think if he won three in a row, I think he's hanging it up at the age of 40. I think he's hanging it up at that point. I mean, if he wins two, I think he might hang it up. If he wins one and is playing well, I don't necessarily think he's hanging it up. But we do have one more segment to get into. A notable free agent still on the market had some words to say about Los Angeles and potentially playing in his hometown. So we'll talk about that coming up right after this. All right, John. Well, I think we just keep getting just enough news that we need after we talk about something. Because on the last show, we talked about, you know, potential free agents that could be created by a team cutting someone. And then a free agent kind of just got his name back into the headlines by mentioning Los Angeles and saying that he could see himself, he would love to stay in LA and play for the Chargers. He also mentioned the Rams. Let's start with that. But it's Demata Pecco, who played the last few seasons for the Broncos, still played very well. He's 34 right now. He'll turn 35 in November. Was really good for the Bengals. Was pretty damn good for the Broncos. John, when you see somebody like that mention the Chargers, it gets you a little excited because the Chargers could definitely use a guy like Pecco.
You definitely could. We need some defensive line help big time. And this is a guy who's a veteran. His stats aren't eye-popping, but he's still a veteran with a good amount of size, about 320. He can be a powerful guy in the middle, and if you could maybe sign him for cheap and get rid of someone like a T.Y. McGill to make space for him on the roster if you needed that space, you just up the D-line even more. And if Brandon Mebane is not living up to par and Pecco and Tillery are, you have two guys that are playing and Mebane's just a rotational piece, or this guy could be the rotational piece. There's so many ways you can move this, but now you have that option. Whereas right now you're like, okay, we have these few guys that are good and one guy that's just here on the roster because it's the best we could find for less than $1 million. What are we going to do with it?
Yeah, and I don't even know if it would be less than $1 million. I mean, there potentially it could be, but
I'm talking just T.Y. McGill.
Yeah. I mean, T.Y. McGill, obviously you're dropping a heartbeat for a guy like Pecco, who, yes, even at his age, he still thinks he has a couple more seasons left at him. And like I said before, he was asked if he wanted to stay home, and he said he'd love to play for the Rams or the Chargers. But then when he was asked if he'd rather play with the Chargers next to Joey Bosa or the Rams next to Aaron Donald, he chose the Rams. He even sent a special shout-out to Sean McVay saying that he was ready to go, basically. So I think he would like to be on the Rams. But I do think if the Rams don't show any interest, the door could be open for the Chargers. And as a player, Pecco is a really immovable object. He stays pretty steady on the line. He's not going to give you a lot in pass rush, but he is a really good run defender. He's very strong. He whips offensive linemen around and makes plays that a guy his size and his age don't usually make. He still looked pretty agile. I went back and I watched some of his games from last year, and I was impressed with it, what he was able to do. He didn't even get a lot of pass rushing snaps. But, John, I think if you're talking about a rotation between him and Brandon Mebane, two younger guys, I think they could both benefit by the lighter workload they could get from having each other.
Yeah, and that also can prevent injuries. It can prevent fatigue so that if it comes to playoff time, you have a fresher defensive line. Whereas last year, could you really say our D-line looked pretty fresh, Wade? Those guys were basically playing almost every snap towards the end of the year because we didn't have really anybody else. So, and you could just see how tired they were. Bylon looked like he was full of energy, but not compared to what he looked like in week 6 or week 7 when he was flying around. So to have rotational pieces, even if it's a guy that's old, it still gives fresher legs towards the end of the year. And as you mentioned, with a run-stopping ability that he has, you can get the defense off the field even quicker if we can start getting teams into 2nd and 12 instead of 2nd and 5. And this is a great way to do it. And that means the less time the defense is on the field, the less chances they have of getting injured. And we already know the injuries we've had the past few years. That's a way to work on preventing a postseason disaster that we had last year with the linebackers. We can do it just with the defensive line.
Just letting the Patriots absolutely terrorize you with 3rd and shorts. Where they could basically get it on the ground or in the air, however they wanted it, they had it. And I think that, yes, in today's day and age, you don't necessarily need, you know, giant guys that can't rush the passer in a passing league, but you need to have those guys when you're getting pushed around, like they were in the divisional round, like they were a little bit the first time against the Ravens and the times they got ran over. It just, you're right, John. It's all about field position. If you can just stop it and make it a 2nd and 10 on a run because you have a guy in the middle that's not going to move and freeze up your linebackers, your new and improved linebacking core, I think that's a no-doubter. I think it's a surprise that Pecco's still out there, which means he's probably asking for more money than teams have been willing to give him. He also said that his strongest suitor right now was the Lions. So there is another team that's actually shown interest because the Rams to this point have not shown any interest, but also lost in Ndamukong Suh. So you could see the fit going there, but you have Jerry Tillery and Justin Jones and Cortez Broughton all at the 3 technique. You really only have, you know, like you said, T.Y. McGill, Brandon Mebane, Damian Square maybe can play that 1 technique and be that other lineman. But I think Pecco is a better fit than those guys are. And I think having 2 veterans to come in, John, when you have so many young guys, the things that he could teach them and what he's been through up and down in the NFL, I think not only would you get leadership, which you obviously valued when you gave Brandon Mebane $10 million a year, 1 year younger than Pecco, they should value it enough to at least show some interest and see what they can do about bringing in a guy like Pecco.
Absolutely, they should. If the money is right, you have to bring him in. And at worst case scenario, maybe he's a guy you bring in that could be cut. You know, they had that list on ESPN of veterans that could be cut. Well, you sign this guy to your roster. If it doesn't pan out the way you thought it would, he's gone before the season starts and you're right back to where you were before. But at least you had something to entertain, or you had guys competing for a roster spot. So they got a little bit better and it showed, hey, your spot is up for grabs. You're not just making the team because you were drafted or because you're a veteran and have a contract. So even if it's just for some battling and training camp, I think it's still a great move to work with.
What can we say about depth, John? I mean, how many times have we seen depth absolutely bite the Chargers in the ass? It seems like in some way it happens every year. Last year, you lose Hunter Henry, you don't draft a tight end or have a legitimate backup plan outside of Virgil Green, who's basically only a run blocker at this point. And you had to bring back Antonio Gates, so yeah, even though he played admirably for his age, you didn't have a backup plan there, so you went with the emergency code red and brought back Antonio Gates, basically. So the Chargers need to learn how to get depth on their team, and this way they're getting a veteran who would not be relied on to, you know, carry all of the snaps on that defensive line. You have another serviceable guy there with Brandon Mebane, and he could play rotationally like he did in Denver, where he played well, especially against the run. So I don't think it's out of the question. Hopefully we hear something else soon about, you know, the Chargers possibly showing some interest in Pecco, because I think he would be a much needed guy in the locker room for leadership and performance as well, because I still think he has something to give if it's anything like last season. But that is going to wrap things up for today's show. We'll be back with you guys next week. But until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, so you can stay involved with all of the conversations we have on there. And wherever you get your podcast from, make sure that you subscribe to the Locked On Chargers podcast, whether it's Spotify or TuneIn or the Himalaya podcasting app. You can get the show before everyone else does if you subscribe to us. And also, guys, make sure to call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail if you want to get your voice on the show. The number is 323-524-7924. Every voicemail gets on the show. I can't stress that enough. We love the people that call in. You can even text in and we'll read your question on the show. So make sure to call into Locked On Chargers voicemail so we have something to start off the week with and you can get your voice on the show. But we will talk to you guys later. Take it easy, have a good weekend, and go Bolts.